go. Thank you for choosing Dwelling Place City Church Podcast.
Place in a park. Get your Bible out and say this with me. This is my Bible. It's the living word of God. It has the power to change my life and the way I live in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking forward to what I'm going to share with you today. Because the title of the message is Living on Stolen Resources. Living on Stolen Resources. Proverbs says this. Proverbs 15:23. Everyone enjoys a fitting word. It's wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. I believe what I'm going to share with you, I try to believe that every Sunday, but I believe more than probably any other time, I'm sharing something with you that is so fitting according to that verse in Proverbs when Solomon said it. So whether you attend the Dwelling Place City Church, or you're watching, you go to a Calvary Chapel, or you go to a Baptist church, or a Pentecostal church, or, you know, whatever the case is, God's word is fitting for us all. And I want to share something with you. You know, last Wednesday night, which would have been 3/25/20, last Wednesday night, I shared with you a brief message about the difference between Abba and Father. And the interesting thing is that what we're going to talk about today relates to how we understand God is our Father, whether he's an Abba or whether he's a Father. Now, if you watched it on Wednesday night, you already know kind of what I'm going to say. But I want to pick it up again because it says in Romans, listen to what Paul says about the difference between the two terms, Abba and Father. He says, verse 15, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear," dealing with fear now. But he says, "But you have received the spirit of adoption." That means you become family, "whereby you cry, Abba, Father." Then he goes on to say, "The spirit itself bears witness within our spirit that we are the children of God." Now, what Paul says there is he uses what sounds like a redundant term, Abba and Father. But as I shared with you Wednesday night, leading up to today, the term Abba, they understood it to mean the Father that's gracious and loving and kind and merciful and all those good things. You know, you crawl up in his lap when you're hurt and when you're wounded and when you're worried or when you're afraid, and he comforts you and he holds on to you and he just loves the pudding out of you. You know, that's Abba. But Paul wasn't being redundant when he said Abba and Father, because as Abba means the gracious and tender and kind one, Father refers to the one who's the disciplinarian, the one who sets the guidelines for how life should be lived, and that if you cross those guidelines, there are consequences. So he wasn't being redundant. He was saying, Abba, the gracious and loving, and Father, the disciplinarian. And I said to you, if all we learn about God as our Abba, the problem is if all we understand is Abba, then we have the potential of becoming spoiled brats. And we become entitled. We think, well, things just belong to us, and I can do whatever I want to do, and there's no consequence, and I'll just go to Daddy and sit in his lap, and everything will be fine. Okay, that's true. But then Father, if we only lean on the fatherhood of God, which is the disciplinarian that says, this is the way you do things, and if you do things wrong, there's going to be a consequence. If all we understand him is his Father in that manner, it leads to legalism and religion. We have no mercy or grace for anybody else. We can't find mercy and grace for ourselves. And so we build a human religious box around God and ourselves. It's a balance of walking into two, Abba and Father. And so today we're going to deal with this issue because the scripture is very clear. And if you're already understand kind of from the title, Living on Stolen Resources, if you already kind of understand what we're going to talk about, because we're going to talk about that thing most people wince at, they say anathema, about tithes and about offerings. Tithes and offerings. It's important that we understand this. Now, we're going to be dealing with the issue of finances, and I'm not trying to get something from you, so listen. Because Proverbs, Solomon said this. Solomon says, 18:13, "He that answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly and shame to him." So if you say, well, wait a minute, I already tithe, And I already give offerings, so what are you going to tell me? Well, listen, I've been walking with Jesus for 5 decades, and I'm still finding things out about how we bless God with our tithes and offerings that are still new revelations. So I'm encouraging you. Solomon said, you're making a mistake if you check out and you don't hear this to the end, because I think you're going to hear something you may or may have not heard before about this subject. So if you've already believed in it, I would remind you that Jesus said about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said to them, you tithe. But he scolded them because he said, you tithe and you give offerings, but you do it for the wrong reason. And so it's really important that we understand that it's not that just we go through the mechanics of tithes and offerings, but it's that we understand what the goal is for ourselves between us and God, between us and Abba, and between us and Father. And if you understand that, they had a fatherly, the Pharisees and Sadducees had a fatherly view of God, but they couldn't catch what Jesus was saying about Abba, about why you do it and what's the motivation. So what we trust in prior to any crisis is what we're going to take into the crisis. Here we are dealing with the corona crisis, and it's a serious matter. It's not an easy matter, and it's not a light matter. Don't make light of it in any way. Every human life is important to God. But I want you to understand that this is a crisis. It's going to end. Sooner or later, it's going to end. And when it ends, we'll have a period of time when we can adjust and get ready for the next crisis, because life is a series of one crisis after another. Let me give you an example. In 2002, there was a Y2K crisis. We all thought we were going to die from that. And then 2001, the anthrax or 9/11 crisis, very serious crisis. 2002, the West Nile virus crisis. 2003, SARS crisis. 2005, the bird flu crisis. 2006, E. coli. 2008, the market collapsed. 2012, the Mayan calendar. Everybody thought that was it. And then 2013, the crisis over war with North Korea. We were on the verge of going to war. 2014, the Ebola virus. 2015, ISIS came on the scene and was making a stink of the world. 2016, the Zika virus. And 2020, Corona. I don't know what's next, but I just know as we live for the Lord and we live and understand Him as Abba and as Father, we get ready for the next crisis. Not that we're looking forward to it, not that we want it to come, but that's why I'm addressing this issue to all of us about living on stolen resources and understanding that whatever we do with our resources before a crisis is what we're going to take into the crisis in terms of our resources, be it economically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever the case is. And so that's where we're dealing with. And as followers of Jesus and of God's word, our resources in a crisis are predetermined before the crisis. What are we going to do now in this crisis to get ready for the next one? To not just get through this one, but to get something. I've said it to you for decades. If I'm going to go through something, I'm going to get something out of it. And so there's something to be had out of this issue. And if we understand that God provides for us and our confidence and our peace can't come from what we have in the terms of our possessions. It needs to come from within. And it's what we do on the outside that determines what happens on the inside, and especially when it comes to economic issues. Kingdom resources are not limited to dollars, because money is not the answer to every crisis. Even if the crisis is financial, even if it's a financial crisis, the answer is not more money. The answer is, what did we do with our resources, body, soul, and spirit, economically, emotionally, and spiritually, before the crisis? Because that's what we take into the crisis. If we see money as the solution, then we've limited God to be able to resolve the issue, because you could be a billionaire and you can't put groceries on the shelves of the stores. You can be a billionaire and you're still sitting at home alone watching Netflix and trying to find something to do. And so we understand that how much money we have isn't the answer. What we do with the resources before the crisis, like I've said multiple times already, the New Testament church understood this issue. They understood it so clearly. Listen to what it said in the book of Acts, chapter 2. If you have your Bible, you might want to turn to it. Chapter 2 and verse, what are we going to do? We're going to look at chapter 2, verse 42. I'm sorry, chapter 3. Chapter 3. Listen to what happens. Verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O Jacob. Listen to what he says. Yet from day to day, your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances. There it is, doing what Father, not just Abba, what Father has told us to do, and have not kept them. Return to me. Listen carefully. Return to me, and I will return to you. Okay? Skip on. He says, but you said, in what way shall we return? So in other words, they asked the question. They said, what do you want us to do? Listen to what it says in verse 42, Acts 2:42. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all and anyone that had a need. They were taking care of one another. But watch, listen, verse 46. So continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as needed to be saved. They understood taking care of one another. Now, I know at this point, a lot of people, maybe even Christians, say, well, we know what you're motivated by. You just figured in this crisis, you just want to make sure everybody tithes. You still don't get it, because that's not the motivation. The motivation is for you to understand that we're not trying to take something or get something from you. We're trying to give something to you that money can't buy. And it has to do with obedience and being faithful to God. In chapter 3, verse 6, watch what he goes on to say. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Now remember how he healed the guy at the gate? And Peter says, silver and gold have I none. They were broke. It wasn't about getting. It was about giving. And so the leaders didn't get rich. They were taking care of people, and they were ministering to people, and they were meeting people's needs. So as we go on in this subject, fear of finances and resources is always rooted in stealing from God. Listen to what I just said. Fear of resources, and in the time of need in particular, is always rooted in stealing from God and living on stolen resources. Hence the title of the message, Living on Stolen Resources. Because whatever it is that we owe God and we don't give to Him, we've stolen from Him. And so it's very clear that Abba and Father, sure, you can go to Abba and say, listen, I didn't and I need help in the time of need. I understand. But Father's going to move in and say, wait a minute, you're in the midst of a crisis and you weren't obedient before the crisis. And what you did before the crisis, what you're bringing to me in the middle of the crisis, that's really, really important. Let's look at Father in the disciplinary role and see what the scripture says about him in the disciplinary role. And I think this is where you can find something you may never heard before. Because here's the deal. What we do before the crisis, like I've said now four or five times, is what you take into the crisis and what you will end up when the crisis is over. So let's go to the book of Malachi real quick. Everybody goes, oh no, here we go. We're going to Malachi. We know what this is about. Remember what Solomon said. Don't answer a matter until you heard it. Listen to what Malachi says in chapter 1, verse 1. He says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Now, you can attach that to the book of Jeremiah. I teach from Jeremiah 23 every single year because it's been a primary set of verses. Jeremiah 23, where the prophet speaks to the nation of Israel about understanding the word of the Lord. Okay, Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. Watch this. And I know you're saying to yourself, okay, this is all about tithes and offerings. But listen, Malachi verse 1, chapter 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Now, you've heard me over the decades if you've been a part of this congregation. And every year I teach from Jeremiah 23 because Jeremiah talks about the burden of the Lord and God's search for a people that would trust him. That's really all he's looking for. He's looking for a people that will put their trust in him. And so Malachi starts out right here with Jeremiah's word about a burden and people about trust. So watch what he does. Skip down to verse 6. And he says about the tithes and offerings. A son honors his father. There's Abba. And a servant his master. There's father. So there's Abba and father. If then I be a father, Abba, the one that you can come to graciously, where is my honor? That's father. Get the picture? Abba, father, Abba, father. Then it happens again. If I am a master, that word there, master, means controller, okay? Where is my reverence? That's father. Listen, this is powerful because he's saying, I want to be Abba and I want to be your father. I want to be your father and I love you, but I also want to be your Abba. Now pick it up. Watch as he goes on in the verse and he says, say to the Lord of hosts, to the priest who despise my name, yet you say, in what have you despised or how have we despised your name? Now remember, the name of the Lord is authority, so that's speaking about father. Am I losing you? Stay with me. You're going back and forth between Abba and Father. Follow along, verse 7. You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible, and when you offer, and this is what he says, when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, he says, you offer to me something you don't even want. And the key to this is they understand. He said to them, what you do is you go through the flock and you find blind lambs that you know you can't use for your own because they're blind. They're not going to produce the way normal lambs would. So you offer to God something you don't even want? Wow, listen to what he says. Is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. In other words, take the least and the worst of what you have and offer it to a governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? In other words, he says your attitude in terms of what you do. Now remember, I said, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you tithe, but you do it for the wrong reason. You just put it in and say, I've got to do this. I don't have any choice. If I don't do it, God's not going to bless me. Let me tell you something. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're wasting your time because you see this in a wrong tone of voice. You're always seeing it wrong. This is how you access the resources of the kingdom. Verse 9, but now entreat God's favor. He says, come on, entreat God's favor. Now, I'm going to read this verse to you. Media doesn't have it, but I'm going to read this verse to you in Malachi chapter 1, verse 9, in the New Living, and listen to what he says. Go ahead, beg God to be merciful to you in the middle of the crisis, but when you bring that kind of offering, why should he show you any favor at all? It's all about attitude. It's all about how we can do what is right by our Heavenly Father to honor him. Now, as we go on in the book of Malachi, follow with me now. We're going to pick it up in Malachi chapter 3. Stay with me now. Okay, we're going to go to chapter 3. Watch what happens in chapter 3, verse 3. And Media, if you can stay with me. It says, he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them of gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Doing it right. Doing it right. Listen to me. The way to get through empty shelves at the store, whether we're going to end up short at the gas pumps or not. You're driving each other nuts being locked in your house together. There's got to be an understanding here that God, your Father, and God, your Abba, wants to take care of you. Now, I know this is a hard word, but stay with me. It's just about to get harder. Verse 6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. You can't change the God of the Old Testament into the God of the New Testament and say tithes and offerings don't work. He just said it right there. I'm a God that doesn't change. Okay, now watch what he says. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances. You've left my laws and my rules and my principles, and you have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you. Let me say to you, if you've not been paying your tithe, if you've not been giving your offering, and I know what some of you are thinking still, I'm just trying to get something from you. You still don't understand Susan and I, much less DP City Church. But listen to what he says. That I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? In other words, you come back to the Lord and you begin to become obedient again. And if you've just been tithing and just doing it mechanically, it's time for you to draw on Abba, because in the middle of the corona crisis, you need all the Abba you can get. We all do. Now, follow along now. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. And there is the title of the message, Living on Stolen Resources. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. That's God's answer. Listen carefully. He says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that you may have food in my house. And try me now. Try me now. Test him. I dare you to do it. Try him now, he says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing. I don't know about you, but in the midst of all this, while there's empty shelves, there's no income coming, there are no resources coming to us, when there's no way to, you know, listen to what Congress just did. They just passed a stimulus package. Okay, and they're going to send us all a check. They just passed a $2 trillion stimulus package. Where are they going to get it? It's all on paper, folks. Listen, I want to tell you, if you just trust your government to take care of you, listen, your government can pass all the stimulus packages they want. And I want to be flat out honest with you. If you read what was in that stimulus package, you were a small part of it. They put in millions of dollars worth of raises for Congress itself. You look at what's in that stimulus package. Now, I still thank God that I live in America, the greatest nation on earth. I swore my oath to the nation, and it stands true. But it's time to get the church back to trusting in the kingdom of God and understanding that that's what this is all about. So pick it up now in verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Oh, right there is enough. Right there is enough. When the economy crashes, it doesn't crash for the people of God who've invested in the kingdom of God. That's where their resources are. And that's where your heart's at. Because that's how you wake up in the middle of the night and you don't worry about whether God's going to take care of you, because you followed Father's instructions, and Abba will warm your heart and fill you with a peace that passes all understanding. Now, skip down to verse 16, finishing up with this. Watch. Then those who feared the Lord, in other words, those who treated Father right, in other words, they did what Father said to do. This is the one that disciplines. Listen to what it says. Then those who feared the Father, the Lord, spoke one to another. encourage one another in this matter. And then he says, and the Lord listened and he heard it. So a book of remembrance was written. Listen, every time the people of God come together and celebrate the goodness of God and say, Abba, and say, Father, that they pay their tithe, they give their offerings, they worship the Lord as Abba and as Father, there's a book of remembrance written for those who feared the name of the Lord. Like I said, there's another crisis coming. This one isn't over. Who and what do you lean on? Some of you have been laid off. That's terrible. Some of you have work, but you can't get there. Malls are closed. Many businesses are closed. You have no source of income. I don't make light of that, not in for one moment. But it speaks to the reality of our heart. Where is our confidence and where is our peace? Can you believe that there's a book of remembrance written for those who have trusted him? That it's so precious to him that we see him as Abba and we see him as Father. That he writes a book of remembrance when we honor him and we glorify him. Listen, it's going, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts in verse 17. And on that day, I will make them my jewels and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Notice what he says. I'm going to treat you as my children and I'm going to take care of you as my children when you serve me. That doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Doesn't mean he's not going to help you out if you don't serve him. I'm just saying, I would rather be on the side of one of the children that serves. And then finally, verse 18, then you again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. What are you drawing on right now? I know what we are. Susan and I have done the same thing you've done. We go to the store, look for stuff. It's not there. We try to occupy the time, figure out what we're going to do. But it's like the New Testament church. They put their faith in Abba as well as Father. They did what he told them to do. They did it in faith and in confidence. And I encourage you to do the same thing. And so, you can give up your tithes and pay your offerings, whether you go to DP City Church, the Baptist Church, a Calvary Chapel, a Pentecostal Church, a Four Square Church, an independent church. It doesn't matter. It's what you do before the crisis. You might be saying, well, wait a minute, Pastor. What's going to happen for me because I haven't been tithing? Time to start. No matter what church you go to, are you supporting that church? Do you support that church's vision? And do you support the kingdom of God? Because ultimately, every church that's preaching the message of the gospel and sharing life with people is an extension of the kingdom of God. So when you invest in your church and you support that church's vision because you believe in that church's vision, you're supporting the kingdom of God and you're saying to Father, be my Abba. We love you and we appreciate you. We believe God's highest and best for you. I want to pray for you real quick so that there be faith and hope and courage in your life and that you not think that we minimize your struggle, not one moment, but we maximize your goal and your objective in the kingdom of God. So put your hand up.